Beloved congregation of the Lord, in Acts chapter 8, we have the record of the Ethiopian eunuch, his conversion, his coming to faith, his baptism, his rejoicing. The Holy Spirit is at work in this man's heart, and it began by him reading the Holy Word of God. And he's filled with questions. And when Philip comes and he asks those questions, one of them is recorded in Acts chapter 8, and Philip answers his questions. You read it so beautifully in verse 35. Philip preached unto him Jesus. That was the answer to all his questions. Jesus. And the Holy Spirit works faith in this man's heart by means of that preaching. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then he's baptized. The Holy Spirit confirms his faith by means of the sacrament of baptism, and he went on his way rejoicing. That's what we find in Lord's Day 25 of the Heidelberg Catechism too. That the means of grace, the preaching and the sacraments. Well, this morning we're going to look at that together from Acts chapter 8, verse 35 and Lord's Day 25. Page 53 and 54 in the back of the Psalter book. The first Acts 8, verse 35. This is God's word. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Lord's Day 25. Of the sacraments. Question 65. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence does this faith proceed? And the answer, from the Holy Spirit, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Question 66. What are the sacraments? And the answer, the sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof, he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Question 67. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. For the Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. With the help of the Lord, then, we want to consider this theme, faith comes from the Holy Spirit. And we want to see, first of all, the means by which faith is worked, and then secondly, the means by which faith is confirmed. First then, the means by which faith is worked. In the past two Lord's Days, 23 and 24, we have confessed that faith is the only instrument by which we can be declared righteous before God through Christ's perfect sacrifice. Well, if faith is that only instrument that raises the question, then where does faith come from? Maybe children, you've asked that question too. Maybe you've asked your mom or dad, where does faith come from? And maybe you think, well, maybe faith is something of the heart, so it must come from my heart. Does it? Does faith come from your heart? That's a very scary answer, because the Bible tells us your heart and my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If faith has to come from my wicked and deceitful heart, then it's hopeless. But faith does not come from your heart. Faith comes from the Holy Spirit. Faith is the work of the triune God. As grace is God's work from beginning to completion. Now that fact can be a great stumbling block. Especially for people who are working so hard to earn salvation or to hang on to their salvation by what they do. And also for those who take their knowledge of the Bible and doctrine and they say, well, I know all these things, so that is faith. But when we speak of faith being the work of God, that's difficult. Difficult for those who believe this, that salvation, including faith, is earned and kept by my own works. And yet, the fact that faith is the work of God is a message of joy. A message of joy and hope. It is a message of good news for people who know by their bitter experience, in me there is no good. In me there's nothing that pleases God. In me there is no strength. Then this becomes not a negative doctrine, but an opening of a door. Wide open. The door of sovereign grace is the door of God's love in Christ Jesus. Maybe you and I have gotten so used to this church building that we don't even notice the sign anymore on the back there when you come in. Behold, I set before you an open door. That's the door of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the door of doctrines like this, that faith is worked and given by the Holy Spirit. That's a wide open door. No man can say Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. What a rich gospel we receive. Salvation is from God completely, through faith, by grace alone. These days there's so much easy believism in many churches. People are not told, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's not what they're told. They're told, believe that you are saved. That's what makes you saved. But see, in the catechism and in scripture, we read truth. And here we read the words of a child of God. I am a partaker of Jesus Christ by grace alone, through faith only. And then I want to know, I need to know, where does that faith come from? We need to be sure about this. Is the faith that I think I have, is that truly from God? It's far from me to sow any seeds of doubt in anyone's mind or anyone's heart, but every once in a while, it would be good for us if we are not so sure of ourselves, just for a little while. Every once in a while, it might be good for us to be afraid that we are capable of deceiving ourselves. See, we need our faith confirmed in and by the Scriptures. God's infallible standard. We need to find our Christian experiences in the Word of God. See, we hear much talk of Jesus Christ, of His love and His grace, and rightly so. He's the center. But we must be very careful that we don't take apart the Holy Trinity, because salvation is the work of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was the sum of Paul's preaching. But he did not separate that from the work of the Holy Spirit. Because 2 verses later he says, and my speech and my preaching was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul knew, and we know, the Holy Spirit through the Word of God proclaims Christ to sinners. Faith proceeds from the Holy Spirit who works and confirms faith in our hearts. This morning we are called to see the work of God the Holy Spirit in saving sinners. The means of grace that He uses. If it is true that salvation is only merited and imputed through the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ in no other way but by faith, then I need to know, how do I get this faith? And it pleases God to work faith through the use of means, two of them, the preaching of the gospel and the use of the sacraments. Those are the means by which Christ and his benefits, all of them, are applied to the hearts of sinners. We speak of grace applied. God is friendly to his people through the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Redeemer. God himself is the source of grace. We don't just speak of grace as out there all by itself. No, we always had the grace of God. And it is through means that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. The Holy Spirit plants in us the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and all his benefits, all the blessings of salvation. God could have done it differently. He could have done it without means. But he did not. And according to the Bible, there can be no faith without the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there's no working, there's no giving of faith without the Word of God. So when we think about that, then we must warn against a grave danger, and that is the underestimation of the means of grace, especially of the preaching of the Word of God. There are people in this world who think they know better than the Lord does, and they don't consider the means of grace necessary. They're wiser than God, so they separate the work of the Holy Spirit from the means of grace. They have their Bible and they look at it and they say, well, that's just letters on a page. It's just a book. Just another book. What really counts, they say, is to have an inward light. To have the feelings and the message from God directly. That can happen without Scripture. You don't need a Bible for that. Not according to the Bible. Not according to the confessions. We need the Word of God. And the first means of grace is the book of the Holy Spirit. He inspired this book. Holy men of God wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1 verse 21. There are other people who speak only of the meaning behind the word. They read the Bible and say, you can't just take all this literally. To me, it means such and such. That's also very common. If it's applied to me, then it is the Word of God. Otherwise, it's not. It's just another book. And you can see it sometimes in people's lives, in their irreverence and carelessness wherewith they handle the Word of God. You never get the idea that the Scriptures is precious to them. Something very special. A special gift from the Lord. They say, for example, well, you know, somewhere in the Bible is God's Word. But they won't say that the Bible is the Word of God. It's in there somewhere, but they won't say that the whole Bible is. But we know from Scripture, and we know from our confessions, that the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel from the Bible. So when the Holy Gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is preached, then the Holy Spirit is at work. And that means he's at work here this morning. There are people who don't believe that the Holy Spirit works through these means. And they despise the institutions of the Lord. They neglect the preaching of the Word of God, and that grieves the Holy Spirit. That quenches the Holy Spirit. That resists the Holy Spirit. Because the preaching of the Word is the means whereby he works faith in our hearts. So then for those who want their faith to be built up, who want their faith to be assured and confirmed, they love to sit under the lively preaching of the Word of God. That happens in the public worship service of God's people. And if this means is despised and neglected, then the fruits will soon become evident because that causes darkness. And if that's you, then you are in danger of destroying your own soul. There is no substitute for preaching. The preaching of the gospel is the means to plant faith in our souls. During COVID, many of us discovered or rediscovered sermon audio. What a blessing, isn't it? We didn't know there were so many good sermons available to listen to. Who would have thought? I heard a question and answer session. I forget where exactly. It was with Sinclair Ferguson. Many of you know who that is. And somebody asked him, you know, during this COVID, we have found out there's so many sermons available. If you could recommend one preacher that I absolutely must listen to, Mr. Ferguson, who would that be? His answer didn't really shock me, didn't really surprise me, but I didn't think he would say that. He would say, listen to the man who prayed for you by name as he was preparing the sermons. Who would that be? Children, who would that be in this church? That would be me. Sinclair Ferguson, who's an excellent preacher, he would tell you, listen to Pastor Niels. Why? Because he prayed for you as he was preparing his sermons. That's the one you must listen to. By all means, feel free to listen to other preachers too. It can be a great blessing. But never neglect the preaching, the preacher in your own church. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Take every opportunity then to hear the preaching in our local church and pray, O Holy Spirit, use this to break my heart, to show me what I need, to show me who Christ is. Use this sermon to work faith and deepen faith and assure me of faith and strengthen my faith. If you neglect the means of grace, you underestimate the merits and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the value of your own soul. The Lord has blessed us with the use of the means of grace. May I ask you this morning, how do you prepare each week to hear the preaching of the Word of God? I know this is true for many of you. You are praying throughout the week for your pastor and for his preaching. You're praying throughout the week for the Holy Spirit to bless the preaching. Are you preparing on Saturday evening for Sunday's preaching in prayer and reading the Word of God? When you get here on Sunday, are you communing with the Lord already before the preaching starts? In prayer, in reading the scriptures? We read in the book of Psalms, I think, especially of Psalm 84 and Psalm 27, of the saints longing for the house of God, for the courts of the Lord. Saints who just can't wait to be instructed by the Holy Spirit again. Who need food for their souls, who need the proclamation and the explanation of the Word of God, who need at center Christ Jesus. And you get Him through the Holy Spirit applying the means of grace, the Holy Spirit will feed and nourish hungry and thirsty souls with the Word of God. Sometimes in church, we hear from the pulpit exactly what we need. And then we say, Lord, how can that be? How could that pastor know that I needed to hear that? One faithful old servant of the Lord, Reverend Hoffman, he said that is evidence of the Holy Spirit working at both ends. Working in you as you are on your knees, praying, working in the pastor as he's on his knees, preparing sermons. Faith is worked by the preaching of the gospel. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only. That's a very important statement, isn't it? That means believers are the most blessed people on earth. The only truly happy people. Are you already by faith a partaker of Christ and all his benefits? Or are you still living for your own account? Today, by God's grace, we may hear the preaching of the Word of God. Maybe some people here this morning think I've heard it so many times and I'm still not saved. Is that the burden of your soul, my friend? The fullness of grace is set before you in the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is on His way in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself comes to us in the gospel preaching. He sets Himself before us. He says, here I am. Receive me. Never underestimate the preaching of the Word of God. There's the opposite danger too. And that would be the overestimation of the means of grace. And that's found in many places too. People who just come to the conclusion, I am a believer. And you say, well, how did you come to that conclusion? Well, I'm in church every Sunday. I'm baptized. I hear the Word of God. Of course I'm a believer. Of course I'm born again. A born again Christian. There's no other kind. Also in our day, I confess faith. I attend the Lord's Supper. So I conclude that I am indeed saved. And they forget what Scripture says. You must be born again. You need faith implanted by the preaching of the Word of God because you're conceived in sin. Faith does not grow in your own heart by itself. It's planted there by the Holy Spirit. Where does it come from? From the Holy Spirit. Yes, the means themselves are precious, but they need the application of God the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the Word of God. There can be opening for your soul. The barriers taken away. The Holy Spirit giving light on the Word of God. You see it in Acts chapter 8. In this Ethiopian eunuch. You can imagine this man from Ethiopia. Reading the prophet Isaiah. And he doesn't get it. Doesn't understand it. And the Lord sends Philip the preacher. Who heard him. Do you understand what you're reading? He says. He says, how can I? Unless somebody would interpret this for me. And beginning at that very scripture, from Isaiah 53, Philip preached unto him, Jesus. It's always the center, the core of the preaching. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The preaching of the gospel in the hand of the Holy Spirit works faith. These are the means of grace, and the means of grace are always at work, doing something. Maybe again someone says, well, I've done this for years and I don't think it's doing anything to me. I go home the same way as I come in the morning. It's not true. It's not true at all. The Bible tells us that the preaching is always doing something in your heart. Because it is the living word of God. It never returns void. Isaiah 55. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, it doesn't return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 2 that we can hear the word of God as a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. So the preaching of the word of God is working one of two things. It's working life, or it's working death. Our hearts, under the preaching of the word of God, are either hardening or they are breaking. One of the two. And if God's word does not break your heart, then your heart is getting harder and harder. And the longer you sit under the preaching of the word of God, the harder that heart gets. And you can't blame the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke of the hardness of our hearts, and he called it sin, unbelief, caused by our enmity against God. But see, the preaching of the word of God proclaims the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his willingness to save hardened sinners, his all-sufficiency to save the greatest sinner. The preaching of the gospel is the opening of a door outside of yourself in Christ Jesus. And some of you, it is to be feared, have never answered the gospel call. So many times the Holy Spirit has come knocking on your heart, as it were. And do you still grieve the Holy Spirit? Do you still resist the Holy Spirit? Stephen said in Acts 7 to the Jewish people, "You always resist the Holy Spirit." And if Stephen were here this morning, would he have to say the same of some of us? Or by God's grace, is it different in your life? Do you receive food for your hungry soul? You know, there's no father or mother too old, and no boy or girl too young for the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, in the preaching of the word of God, lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ before us, as it were, sets him before us. What a great privilege. What an awesome responsibility to be under the preaching of the gospel. Everyone receives the same sermon. We all hear the same words. Does it not apply to you? No one is neutral. The means whereby faith is worked is the preaching of the gospel. But when we harden our hearts, then this preaching testifies against us. But when the preaching breaks our hearts, and that's what we should pray for constantly, then the Lord God Almighty will receive all honor and glory, and we will go on our way rejoicing like the eunuch did. We have a second thought, the means by which faith is confirmed. We'll look at that after we sing number 311. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? 311, all five verses. Faith comes from the Holy Spirit. And now the means whereby faith is confirmed. Question 66 to 68 address the sacraments in general. What are they? What are sacraments? And we confess that they are holy, visible signs and seals appointed by God. Think about that for a moment. First of all, they are holy. Holy means that God Himself has set them apart for His purpose. They're visible signs and seals, signs pointing to something else, and seals like an attorney seal making it official. When you think about sacraments, the signs work in the sacrament is to more fully declare the promise of the gospel. So that we not only hear it with our ears like we do this morning, but then we see it with our eyes. And in the Lord's Supper we even touch and taste it and swallow it. But the sacraments are sometimes called the visible gospel. When a child is baptized or an adult or when the Lord's Supper is celebrated, the Lord allows us to see in picture form the promise of the gospel. So at baptism, then we may see that just as sure as water washes dirt off people's bodies, so sure the blood of Christ washes away our sins. And in the Lord's Supper, just as sure as we see and taste that broken bread and the poured out wine, just so sure Christ's broken body and blood is shed for us sinners. That's how they are signs. They point to something greater, something more. And the seal's work is to seal to us the promise of the gospel. When we are baptized, then God makes that personal. Puts His name right on us and says, this promise is true for you. This promise of the gospel that I will save you through Christ Jesus and His one perfect sacrifice. Both sacraments point to the remission of sins and eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that raises the question, doesn't it? How can God do that? On what grounds can the righteous king and judge grant remission to a guilty sinner? How can a righteous king and judge give eternal life to a sinner who deserves eternal death? It's just the opposite. Well, He can do that for the sake of the one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. That's the center, that's the heart of the sacraments. The Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. So when there's a baptism ceremony, then it's not the baby that's the focus. Not the baby that's the center. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. When an adult is baptized, that adult is not the center of attention. No, it is the Lord Jesus Christ and His perfect sacrifice. Same in the Lord's Supper. The people who partake are not the center of attention. Christ is. He's the focus. He's the object of our faith always. The Holy Spirit confirms faith by the use of the sacraments, not by the neglect of the sacraments or by the abuse or the misuse of the sacraments, but by the use of the sacraments, He confirms faith. So how do we use the sacrament of baptism? And how must we use the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? That'll be the subject of the next 5 Lord's Days. But for this morning, I want to stress with us that both the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments are intended for exactly the same purpose. And that purpose is that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation. And sometimes people say, well, don't preaching and sacraments serve different purposes? No, they don't. They serve exactly the same purpose. We need to remember that you take the whole Bible, the center, the core of the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true for the Old Testament. That's true for the New Testament. That means that the core or the center of the preaching of the Word of God must always be the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the object of our faith can only be the Lord Jesus Christ. And since the Holy Spirit confirms faith by the use of the sacraments, then the core and the content of the sacraments must also be the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is. Yes, indeed, for the Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel, and He assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends on one thing, the one sacrifice of Christ, which He offered for us on the cross. The preaching and the sacraments are ordained by God Himself for that purpose. That's why we have preaching. That's why we have sacraments. Three times in Lord's Day 25, it mentions that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. So how can you know? How can I know if the Holy Spirit is at work or is working or has worked in your heart? How can you know if the Holy Spirit is confirming or has confirmed faith in your heart? You remember the definition of faith in Lord's Day 7? A certain knowledge whereby I hold for truth all that God has revealed in His Word. With the special attention on the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Certain knowledge that's becoming more certain. And do you have an assured confidence that not only to other people, but to you also, remission of sins, everlasting righteousness and salvation are freely given by God, completely by grace, only for the sake of Christ's merits? And is this certainty and this assurance gradually increasing? With the focus more and more being on the one person, Christ Jesus, and His one sacrifice on the cross. Beloved, you may know that you are in the faith and that the Holy Spirit has worked and is working when your faith is being confirmed by the fruits thereof. And what is that? We saw that a little while ago. Love to God and love to your neighbor. You can know it when you cling by faith to the Lord's promises in the gospel. You can know it when you begin to hate the sin that cleaves to you because it grieves your Lord. You can know it when you are being made more and more willing and ready to live for Him. When you love to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and what He has done, and what He is doing, and what He will do. You may know that you are in the faith when you long to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He is so precious to you. That faith needs strengthening because it is often weak and feeble and variable, and there can be doubts. 9 months ago, we asked each other the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? Remember the answer? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own. But I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from the power of the devil, and assures me by His Holy Spirit of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. That's where we began, back in January. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, has there been growth in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Has the confession of Lord's Day 1 become more and more the reality of your life and my life? As the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts, by means of the preaching of the gospel, and as the Holy Spirit confirms that faith in our hearts by the use of the sacraments. See, we must never forget that the object of our faith is a real person. His name is Jesus Christ. And He really was born of a virgin named Mary. And He really did perfectly obey the whole law of God. And He really died on a real cross, on a real hill. And He shed real human blood. And He was buried in a real tomb. And He really rose from the dead. Those are the facts. Gospel facts on which we stand. Nowhere else. Here our faith rests secure. And that faith, beloved, comes from the Holy Spirit, who works faith by means of gospel preaching. That same Holy Spirit who confirms our faith by the use of the sacraments. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Almighty, we thank You, O Lord, for ordaining, instituting the means of grace, the preaching of the Word of God, the administration of the sacraments and its uses. And O Lord, we acknowledge that we are reluctant learners. We are quick to depend on all kinds of other things besides the preaching of the gospel and besides the use of the sacraments. But Lord, we pray that we may be more and more convinced of this truth, that these are the means by which the Holy Spirit does His work in our sinners' hearts. Lord, please bless us. Increase our faith. Strengthen it. Deepen it, confirm it, assure it, Lord, that we may live more and more out of the fullness of Christ Jesus and realize all the benefits we have in Him. And Lord, please be with those who still neglect and refuse the gospel. Neglect and refuse the Lord Jesus Christ and the only way of salvation. And His one perfect sacrifice accomplished on the cross. Help us, O Lord, that no one here, no one listening would be left behind, carrying on in their unbelief and their enmity. Lord, we pray for Pastor Overdoon as he will be preaching here this afternoon and Reverend Vanderswag next Lord's Day. Be with me as I go to preach in Zion and will be off next Sunday. Take care of my wife and myself as we travel to BC. Lord, we pray that we may come back again in due time and that we may see each other again in good spiritual health. Bless us, we pray. Keep us from sin. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.